And we're thankful for your presence. I encourage you to come back and be with us again the next time that you have opportunity to do so. As we've mentioned, I want to talk this morning for just a few moments about redeeming the time. That is a command, I believe, that is given to us in Ephesians chapter 5. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look just at three verses here and use them as a way of introducing the subject and getting into a discussion of how we can make the best use of the time that we have. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." In the last several years, there's been a boost, it seems, in the popularity of these pawn shop shows on cable television. There's Pawn Stars, but there's other varieties of that on other networks as well, and those are interesting shows to watch. And I've been to pawn shops, and I've bought things in pawn shops, I've sold things, but I've never actually pawned anything in a pawn shop. But I understand the procedure, and it's explained on these shows from time to time. It's a way to get a loan. If you're running short on money, you can take something of value in and you pawn it, and they give you a percentage of what they believe that it is worth, and they keep it, and you have a certain amount of time in which to come back and to get that back. And if you so decide, you can come back before that time is over, and you can buy that out of pawn, or you can redeem it. And of course, there's a little fee that's attached to it. That's how they make their money. But that's the idea. Is if you want to get out of pawn, you've got to go and buy it back, or you've got to redeem it. Here we're talking about redeeming the time, buying it back, getting it back somehow. When something is in pawn, it's locked away in that back room. It's not put out for sale. Of course, after that time period, they'll put it out for sale and make some money off of it. But while it's in pawn, it's put back away, and it's not used. It's not in circulation. It's hidden back there. When we sinned, we pawned our souls to the devil. We gave the devil our soul for the exchange of the pleasure of sin. When we became a Christian, the Lord redeemed us. He bought us back. We talk about Jesus being our Redeemer. We sing songs about Jesus being the great Redeemer in passages like Titus chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14, we read about Jesus being our Redeemer, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. He might redeem us. What is that? He might buy us back. Because when we sin, Satan has us. He has our souls. But Jesus paid the price when He died on the cross and rose from the dead. And when we choose to obey the gospel, when we choose to become a Christian, we are redeemed. We are bought back. Now, the passage we have before us, the Apostle Paul tells us to redeem the time. We can understand time. Time is a human concept. Now, eternity cannot be measured. But in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, time came into existence. And our life in this physical realm is measured by time, and it will continue to be measured by time. Time will continue to exist until this physical world is no more. Because in the spiritual realm, in eternity, there is no time. And our physical minds aren't wired to be able to think about that. That's a concept that's a little beyond our reach. I remember when I was in junior high and I was sitting in study hall, which to me was the biggest waste of time that you could have. But here I am sitting in study hall and I decide, you know what? Let's think about eternity. Whoa. And just think about something that never ends. Think about getting in a spaceship and just as far as you can go, you're not any further than you ever were. Just keeps on going, keeps on going. And that concept is hard for us to grasp because we're used to limits. We're used to time. We're used to things having a beginning and things having an ending. That's the way time works for us. Time goes by slow, it goes by fast, but it goes by. Thanks to the devil, most of the time that is spent in this world is spent doing that which is evil. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, 1 John chapter 5 verse 19 says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." That is, Satan has his influence in this world, and those who are not Christians are given to Satan. So much time is spent in this world doing that which is evil, doing that which is wicked. That's why Paul says that we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. Time is spent doing sinful things, and it's up to Christians to counter that. It's up to us to counter that sin and to counter that influence and make a difference in this world and make a difference in our lives. We are to redeem it. We are to buy it back. Think about how it is that we can buy back time. We can't do anything about the time that's already passed. We can't go back and get it and relive it, although it's interesting to think about that sometimes, isn't it? Oh, I only wish I could go back. I only wish I could do that. Well, we can't. We can't go back. We can't do that again. So the time that's already passed, there is no getting that back. When Paul says redeem the time, we can't go back and get that and bring it back and live it again. But what Paul is talking about is you and I, as followers of Christ, spending the rest of the time that we have the way God would have us to spend it. That's what it means to redeem the time. To make the most of the time that we have for God and for Christ and not for ourselves and not for sin. I want to talk for a few moments this morning about how it is exactly that God expects you and I to redeem the time. That is, to make the most of the time that He has given us. Because that's one thing that we all have in common. We all have the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours in a day. How we spend that time, how we choose to make use of that time, differs from person to person. But we've all got the same amount of time. How can we redeem this time? What would God have us to do? Well, number one, since time is flying, and it does go away quickly, how can we redeem that time? Number one, we can redeem the time by making proper use of our possessions. Proper use of the things which God has blessed us with. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, Jesus here in this passage is giving a series of parables. We refer to them as kingdom parables. And there's two of them in which Jesus talks about the value of having or being in the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. In order to have that field, he's willing to give up everything else to have that field, to have that treasure." And Jesus says that's the way the kingdom of God is. You're willing to part with everything that you have in order to possess it, in order to obtain it. Verses 45 and 46, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Again, there's the idea of if we're willing to part with everything in order to have that one possession. If you're a Christian, you were willing to part with everything that you had in order to be identified with Christ, in order to follow Christ. Now, here's the thing. He doesn't take it all. He lets us keep it. But we understand as Christians that they're not really ours. We're simply stewards of what God has blessed us with. And in becoming a Christian, we go from having a possessions mentality to a stewardship mentality. It's no longer mine. It's the Lord's, and He's blessed me with it, and He allows me to use it. But I've got to use it the way He says. That's redeeming the time. Making proper use of the blessings that God has given unto us. How much need there is that exists in this world today while people are grasping on and holding on to the things that belong to them instead of giving and instead of sharing with others. We must make proper use of our possessions. We must make proper use of the money that we have. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 4 and at verse 9, the Apostle Peter says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Be hospitable. Hospitality is a good subject for us to look at in making proper use of our possessions. Because it's impossible for us to practice hospitality without using the things that we have for the benefit of someone else. Whether that be inviting someone to come into our home and to enjoy some time in our home or to stay in our home or to eat of the food from our table. Or maybe hospitality is in the form of taking money from our pocket and treating someone to a meal out. You know, in our culture today, a lot of times we can go out and eat a lot easier than we can have someone in our home. And I believe that that is a form of hospitality, helping to meet the needs of others. It has to do with us using our possessions in a way God tells us to use them. That's a way that we can redeem the time with our possessions, using them the way that God would have us to use them. The opportunity to use our possessions is very limited because the treasure that we lay up here on earth, it's subject to decay. It's subject to theft. It's subject to loss with the market going down and plunging. Any number of things can happen to our possessions. So we need to make use of them now while we have the time, while we have the opportunity. So let's redeem the time by making the most of the possessions that we have. Doesn't matter how much we have or how little we have. How are we using what we have? That's what matters before God. Let's redeem the time with our possessions. Secondly, let's redeem the time with our physical lives, which we all know will come to an end one day. And we all know that as time goes on, there's chance, there's risk of limitations with what we can do with our physical lives. Let's make the most of what we have right now. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 4, back up to verse 1, and let's read verses 1 through 4. Here the Apostle Peter is talking about a change in conduct that has to occur when someone becomes a Christian, when someone comes out of the world and comes into the kingdom of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 1. "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God." Now, let's pause right there, and let's get our minds wrapped around what the Apostle Peter is saying right there. That he no longer should live the rest of his time, the rest of his physical life. He should no longer live the rest of that time. He should no longer give any more time in his life to doing the sinful things of the flesh, but instead should devote the rest of that time to serving God, for the will of God. Verse 3, look at this. "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles," that is, living in sin. I don't care how old you were when you became a Christian. The Bible is making the point that was more than enough time spent in sin. More than enough. You've already spent enough time doing your own thing. You've already spent enough time living for yourself. You've already spent enough time living for Satan, living for the flesh. The rest of your life, you live for God. And that means specifically, you're going to have to stop doing some things. We spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Going back and looking at these, some of these are principles that are set forth. Lewdness, lasciviousness, the King James Version says, and lust. Has to do with sins of the flesh. Has to do with the way that we dress ourselves. We're to dress modestly, not immodestly, the way we conduct ourselves physically with others. We're not to engage in provocative things such as dancing, mixed swimming, and things of that nature, which excites the lust of the flesh. No, you've done enough of that in the past. You don't do that any longer. Drunkenness. Drunkenness. Let me just say this. You're never going to get drunk if you never take that first drink. So you just stop it right there. Drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties is that social setting where we'll just have some cocktails with some business folks before or after lunch. No, you've had enough time to do things like that. You don't do that any longer. We redeem the time. We're doing different things with our lives now. Abominable idolatries. We might not think of ourselves as idol worshipers today, but an idol is anything that we put before God. And any time that we spend pursuing something that is not the will of God and the kingdom of God is an idolatry. It's idolatry. It's the practice of chasing after something that is not God. Now verse 4, look at verse 4. In regard to these, they think it strange you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. If you stop doing things like that, the folks you used to do things like that with, they're going to think differently about you. Why aren't you doing this anymore? Why aren't you engaged in this any longer? I'll tell you, that happens. That happens. Don't think it's strange when it does, because the Bible says that that's going to happen. When you change your lifestyle, you're going to change your friends. And sometimes you really don't have any choice in the matter. Your old friends are going to distance themselves from you, but you're in God's family, and God's people will fill up that void plus more. You see, our life is not ours to spend the way that we want to. Another passage that goes with this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Bought at a price. What are we talking about? We're talking about redeeming the time, right? Buying it back. Well, we started out talking about Jesus redeeming us and buying us back from sin. You and I are bought at a price. If we're Christians, we belong to God because He's purchased us. We are bought with a price. We're not our own. And so the way we live our life, God has the right to tell us how to do that. We redeem the time by living our lives the way God would have us to live. Now, how do we do that? Look at the bottom of verse 20 here. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are to glorify God in our life. That's how we redeem the time. By doing those things that glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we're to do all to the glory of God. So we're to live our lives in such a way that glorifies God by doing His will, doing those things that please Him. And secondly, the use that we are to make of our lives is, number one, glorifying God, but number two, serving our fellow man. That's how we redeem the time. Not by serving ourselves, but becoming a servant of others. In Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. But Jesus called them to Himself and said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first of all shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus served us when He redeemed us. And then He calls upon us to follow His example by serving one another. How can I redeem the time? By making the most use of the life that I have to live. And I live it to God's glory, and I live it to serve my fellow man and my brethren. Third, I am to redeem the time by making proper use of my opportunities. In the book of Galatians, at chapter 6 and verse 10, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity. Our English word opportunity came from a Latin term that literally meant toward the port. It was a term that was used for those who were sailors. And the idea was that as you're approaching a port, and wind conditions get such, remember we don't have gas-powered motors back in the old days, we have sails. When conditions are right and the wind is blowing just the right way and the water is smooth enough and the tide is high enough that you can get into port, that's the time to do it. When conditions are just right. Matter of fact, you look at the word opportunity and you got the word port right there. Opportunity, it's the ideal time to do the task. God blesses us in our lives every day with unique opportunities. There are times when conditions are just right to glorify Him and to serve others. And if I'm going to make my life count and I'm going to redeem the time, I'm going to look for those times. I'm going to look for when those conditions are just right. I'm going to look for opportunities and I'm going to act upon those opportunities. Because opportunities come and then very quickly they go away. And a door that was open today may be closed tomorrow. So if I'm going to make things count, and if I'm going to redeem the time, I'm going to act when I need to. And I'm going to take advantage of those opportunities. I also understand the brevity of life. I'm not always going to be around. I'm not always going to have the opportunity to do these things, to glorify God and to serve my fellow man. And the brevity of life is a great point. It makes a very strong argument for us making the best use of the time that God gives us. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Our life lasts for just a very short time. When we were growing up, my sister and her family are here today. Becky, I usually talk about you when you're not here, but I'll go ahead and talk about you while you are here. And the rest of you all be quiet about when I've talked about her in the past. But we were the first ones on the bus in the morning, and we were the last ones off the bus at night. I'd like to think that we were the smartest ones in our class because we spent more time going to school than anyone else did, but I don't think that's how it works. But of course, in those cold mornings, while we're out there waiting on the bus, and you exhale, there's that vapor that comes out. And of course, what's cool to do when you're a little kid and there's that vapor out there, and we'd sit out there and we'd act like that while we were waiting on the bus to come. Fortunately, a habit neither one of us picked up. But as your kids, you know, that's fun to do. You just exhale and there's that cloud of smoke and then it's gone. It's gone. And you know what? Life is that way. Life is that way. Christy and I just had yesterday a celebration of our oldest child graduating high school. And we look back over those 18 years and just like that, there it went. The Anspaws have done the same thing this year with their daughter Julia. Others of you have done it in the past. Others have it coming on very quickly. We know time passes, life passes so very quickly. We can make plans for the future, and that's all well and good. And the Bible's not condemning us for making plans. But what the Bible is condemning in this passage is, number one, making plans without God in mind. And number two, putting off till later what we know we have to take care of now. We are to redeem the time. It's no longer, I'll take care of that later. I'll overcome that sin someday. I'll get around to talking about my neighbor someday. I'll get around to telling the elders I want to wait on the table and developing that talent someday. No, you do it now. Because now the conditions are just right for you to get that ship into port. Now you have the time. Now you have the opportunity. How do I redeem the time? I redeem the time by making the most of my opportunity. An opportunity to spend time with other Christians. An opportunity to study God's Word. An opportunity to share the gospel with others, to let my light shine. That's how I redeem the time. And then finally, this morning, I redeem the time by making proper use of my knowledge. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want us to look at a passage together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and at verse 7. The Apostle Paul says of himself and the other apostles, I believe here he's talking about the other apostles. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Well, the earthen vessel is, of course, the physical body. And he's talking about that in chapter 4, and we'll continue to do so on into chapter 5. This earthen vessel is the physical body. But what's the treasure? What's the treasure? Well, it's the gospel. It's the gospel. He says, myself and the other apostles, and in a way, by extension, every Christian. We know not every Christian was on par with the apostles, but every Christian has a treasure in earthen vessels. We possess a knowledge of the truth that sets men free from sin. And that's a great thing to possess. But we must be making proper use of this treasure. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak." If we've been entrusted with the gospel, if we've learned the truth, we're duty-bound to speak it to others, to tell it to others. The apostles were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we know that by that, as Christians, we are to share the gospel with those around about us. One way that we redeem the time is by talking with other people about the Lord. Starting religious conversations, getting in on religious conversations, offering to read the Bible with people, study the Bible with people. Won't you come to services with me sometime? Let's do what we can to share the gospel with those who are lost. That's one way that I can redeem the time. That's one way that I can buy that time back and make proper use of it. I can't do anything about what's happened in the past. But I can be resolved from this moment onward to make the best use of my time in service unto God. I've got what life I have left. In that time that God blesses me with, let me be a good steward of the things that He has given to me. Let me use my possessions to His glory. Let me make use of the opportunities that I have to brighten the corner where I am, to glorify God, and to help my fellow man. And let me preach the gospel and teach the gospel to those who are lost. That's how you and I can redeem the time that we have left. If you would, as we extend the invitation song, would you get a hold of the song that we are going to sing in just a moment? Maybe you're here with us this morning and you're not yet a Christian. Not yet a child of God. You've not been baptized for the remission of your sins. I want you to understand something. Right now is the time for you to take care of that. You may not have later this afternoon. You may not have tomorrow. But you've got right now. Right now is the time for you to confess your faith in Christ, to repent of your sins, and to let us baptize you in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you've done that, but you've become unfaithful to the Lord, you've walked away from Him, right now is the time to come back home. You're going to find God exactly where you left Him. He hasn't left you. You turn around and you come back through repentance by confessing and asking forgiveness for your sins. And if you can take care of that between you and God, that's great. But if you'd like our help, if you'd like us to pray with you, now's the time to let it be known. Whatever your spiritual need is, let it be known by coming right up here to the front. Give me your hand and the Lord your heart as together we stand and sing this song.